the anchor holds, though the ship is battered.
Thank you for joining us for the Anchor Baptist Broadcast, a ministry of the Anchor Baptist Church in Pisgah Forest, North Carolina, with our pastor, Dr. Randy C. Barton. Our services are also live streamed on Facebook at Anchor Baptist Church. We now go by recording to the sanctuary of Anchor Baptist for a message from Pastor Barton.
Take your Bible, open with us, please, to the book of Romans, chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. Now, it is my typical style to preach exposition, meaning that I take a passage and then we look at it word for word, or we look at it phrase by phrase. But today I'm preaching more of a topical thought, but we'll use the book of Romans chapter number 5 as our thought and as our text. If you'll stand with me just for a moment, please, as we read the Word of God. The book of Romans, chapter number 5. Romans is a masterpiece of the grace of God. When we have a new convert, if we can't give them anything else, we give them the book of Romans. I've got probably 500,000 of the book of Romans in the warehouse right now in Spanish. And so you can learn everything you need to know about salvation out of the book of Romans. We usually give the Gospel of John, if we have it, and then the book of Romans. But I want you to look what the Scripture says in the book of Romans, chapter number 5, verse number 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I want you to look in verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm interested in that phrase, that as sin hath reigned unto death. I want to look for a few moments this morning at the reign of death. The reign of death. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, we need your power. We need your touch. Lord, we need more than just an exercise of our religionity. Lord, we need for the Spirit of God to speak to hearts. And Lord, that you'd do a great work today for your glory, for your name's sake. For we ask these things in Christ's holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. The reign of death. Recently, Queen Elizabeth died. And she ended the longest reign of any monarch in the history of England. And of course, her son, he's in his 70s. And so his reign will certainly not be near as long as hers was. She apparently went to the throne when she was very young. But she, a generation has known, there have been multiple generations that did not know anyone but the queen. Matter of fact, been a long time since England has had a king sitting on the throne. And so a list of those reigning, those that in control, those that the reigning family. Well, the Bible tells us about the reign of death. The reign of death began in the Garden of Eden. The Lord told them, in the day that you eat of it, you'll die. Well, they began to die that day. Their spirit died, and their bodies began to die. And they begin to deteriorate. Adam would still be alive if that had they not eaten it. They were created eternal. But because of sin, they died. And so I want today look at this reign of death. And we were taught in school that when you were doing an essay or when you were doing an interview or whatever, you asked some questions. You probably remember this. The WH list: who, what, when, what, where. And now they have added how to the back end of it. And so I want to apply those questions to the subject of death. Now understand that we are now bearing my generation, okay? And so my generation's going out to meet God. And, you know, there's a few still have our parents, but for the most part, I'm the back end of a generation. I'm the last. I'm in the latter part of a generation. And many of our generation, their parents are already gone, and so we're the next generation. It's our turn to be the elders. It's our turn to pick up the newspaper and watch those that we knew and those we went to school with one by one be picked off by this reign of death. And so I want to answer some questions for you this morning from the Scripture. First of all, the question of who. Well, who will die? Well, I don't know who the next one to die will be, but I can say this, I know who will die. Who's going to die? I don't know when, in what order, but who's going to die? Everybody's going to die. Man born a woman is going to die. There's only been two people that ever left this world alive, Enoch and Elijah. They're the only two. They were translated. Now, there's going to be a crowd in the rapture. That's the type of that. Enoch was a type of that. Elijah was a type of that. But I want you to understand that if the Lord doesn't come, and pray that he does, we're all facing death. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So everybody's going to die. There's not going to be a miracle cure. There's not going to be a miracle pill. They're not going to find the fountain of youth. Everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice is going to die. As a matter of fact, all living things are going to die. And so who will die? Men. If your mother was a woman, then you're going to die. If your daddy was a man, then you're going to die. Because it's appointed unto men once to die. And then, so under the who will die? Everybody. Under the what? Well, what happens when I die? You know, there's a group running around saying that when we die, we're just like dogs, and we're done, and our existence ceases. I saw somebody with a bumper sticker. I think it's one of the most irreverent bumper stickers that I've ever seen. Remember where we used to see them years ago? They would say, "God is my co-pilot." Remember that? Remember that years ago? "God is my co-pilot." And then they marked out co, and then they started saying, "God is my pilot." Well, G-O-D, God. I saw a bumper sticker that they reversed the letters. Instead of G-O-D, it was D-O-G. "Dog is my co-pilot." How irreverent is that? All I can tell you is I hope that dog has paid your price. I hope that dog's going to get you in. There are people worshiping dogs, you know that. People worshiping animals, that's just crazy. But I got news for you. That's not going to work. What's going to happen, preacher, when I die? Well, there's two categories. First of all, if we're prepared. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, "We are confident, I say, and rather willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." There's a group that says that there's soul sleep, that you stay in the ground and your soul's asleep until the resurrection. That's not what Paul said. Paul says to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. In other words, when our heart stops beating on this side, if you're redeemed, if you're saved, if you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says that we step instantly over into another dimension, over into another world. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But if you are unprepared, it's instantaneous. There's a story in the Scripture found in the book of Luke, chapter number 16, about a rich man and a beggar. The rich man, he lived real well. But the beggar, he was pitiful. He's had sores on him. He was pitiful. And the Scripture says that they both died. When the beggar died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, which is a picture of heaven. So when the beggar died, he knew the Lord. He was immediately, in all his sores was healed. All his physical ailments were healed. He was in paradise. And that's what that's talking about, paradise. But the Scripture says, "And the rich man also died and was buried." There's not even any word that the beggar was even buried. They may have threw his body out on the ash heap. I don't know. But there's a big fine funeral, I'm sure, for the rich man. And the preacher got up and told what a fine fellow he was and how much money he'd given to the church and what a good guy he had been. Well, everybody thinks that's going to do him some good, but it's not. Because, see, he had already landed at his destination. When his heart beat its last, instantly he woke up. The Bible says in verse 23 of Luke 16, and in hell he lift up his eyes. Did you know that in hell that we can see and we can hear and we can feel? How you know? Because the Bible says this guy did. He lift up his eyes being in torments and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. He was thirsty. He was burning. He was tormented. Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there's a gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Forget this thing of purgatory. There is no passage. There is no such thing. Your family can't pray you out of that place. There is no second chance after death. That's a lie. Man made that up. You know, I wish there was a second chance, but your chance is here now. There is no getting out of purgatory. There is no purgatory. It's heaven or hell. And when you go to hell, there is no paying for your sin. Then you get to go to heaven. That's a lie. Bible has nowhere reference, even anything close to that. Doesn't work that way. And the scripture says that when he found out he couldn't get out of hell, he said, well, Father, he said, send Lazarus. Send Lazarus. And said, I pray therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren that he may testify to them, lest they come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Moses and the prophets, the Bible. They have the Bible. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And here's a very very cold statement in the Bible. And Abraham said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Christ is the one speaking this parable, but it's not a parable like all the other parables because he uses a proper name. It's a real event. And he said, even if one rises from the dead, they won't believe it. Can I say that not long after he said this, he would die, he would be buried, and he would rise again. But there are still people today that said, nope, I'm going to trust my works. Nope, I'm going to trust the church. Nope, I'm going to trust this religion or that religion or this thing or that thing. I want you to understand, all the religions on earth have one thing in common. It means you got to do and do and do stuff. Just depends on what, you know, Jehovah's Witness say you got to do this, and then the Buddhists say you got to do that, and then the Hindus say you got to do this, and then Mormons say you got to do that. But every one of them's got the same thing in common. It's all do, 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 do. But that's not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is done. Christ did it. There is nothing to do. So I said, well, you got to be baptized. No, you don't. Thief on the cross wasn't baptized. He went to heaven. Well, you got to take the Lord's Supper. No, you don't. Thief on the cross never took the Lord's Supper, did he? Those are just symbols. An outward expression of an inward experience. That's all they are. They will not get you there. A lot of people believe that Baptists believe by putting people under the water, you're going to go to heaven. And there's a word of truth in that. And there's Baptist people all over this county that are deceived because they got dunked somewhere. They think they're all right. My friend, that's not true. It's a heart thing. That baptism was an expression of what took place earlier when they died to themselves and Christ rose them and that they would walk in newness of life. And he said, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. So preacher, who will die? Everybody. What will happen when I die? Well, the redeemed will go into the presence of God. And those trying to get there on their own will go into the presence of the other lost people in the regions of the damned. The scripture says, not only not only who will die and what happens when I die, but I want to say, when will I die? Well, preacher, you can't tell me when I'm going to die. I can, actually, when it's your time. Now, I don't know that time, but did you know that you have an expiration date? I heard somebody use that term one time. I went to see a man at the VA, and they said he expired. And I looked at him, and I said, what do you mean? She said, he died during the night. But she said he expired. Do you ever set an alarm on your phone for so many minutes? You ever set it for the oven, or you ever set it, you got something coming up, and in 10 minutes you got to be doing something. You set an alarm, and the thing counts down. Did you know if there was a clock on your forehead, everybody in here has got a timer going on, and your clock is counting down. And if the Lord doesn't come, for some of you, it may be 70, 80 years for some of these children. And that seems like a very long time. But you know, the psalmist talks about time and talks about how long we live. He talks about it in the matter of days. It's very interesting. It's just days. We talk about months. We talk about years. We talk about decades. We talk about centuries. God sees it in the form of days. In Psalm 90, he said, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. A tale that is told. I guess one of the most quoted fellows in this part of the country is Billy Kelly. And Billy Kelly said this and Billy Kelly said that. I talk about him all the time. But what we're doing is we're summarizing Billy's life by a tale that is told. That's what we remember. We just summarize his life. And sometimes I'll say, well, my grandpa used to say, and his whole life of 84 years is summarized by one little saying that I got, that I remember. And that's how brief life is. He said, the days of our years are 70 years, and by reason of strength, 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days. It's a good practice to sit down and figure out how many days old you are. Takes a little work on a calculator, but figure out how old you are. And then apply the math to the 70 and see how many days you've lived. Now see how many days you've got according to 70. 70 is 70. Well, I can tell you this. My clock's really getting close. And somebody said, oh, preacher, I don't know if I'm going to make it to 70, all right? Just be honest with you. Okay, if it's by reason of strength, I'm out of strength. I'm about shot, you know. If I'd known I was going to live this long, I took better care of myself, you know. Good gracious. But when will I die? You're going to die at the end of your time, end of your days. And it may be today. Could be tomorrow. It may be a long time from now, but here's the question. Every day that you live that you're not saved, you're gambling. But you're not gambling with money. You're not gambling with real estate or something other at stake. You're gambling with eternity. Every heartbeat is a roll of the dice. Think about it. You are gambling with eternity. And the problem is, when you lose, there is no getting it back. It's over. There is no second chance. Well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to state my case. I got news for you. You're not going to say anything, because you're not going to go to heaven. You're going to be before the great white throne judgment. And the only thing you're going to confess is Jesus Christ is Lord, but it'll be too late. The devil will do that along with you in chorus. I want you to understand, when will I die? If you go to the cemetery, there are little graves and there's big graves. There are graves that children that died before they were born, or the day they were born. So they died and born and died on the same day. And you go to the cemetery and the people lived over 100 years. But every one of them is represented by that little dash on that tomb rock. And that's about how long life is that little old dash etched in that marble. And the amazing part of it is I can take you over here to the graveyard and I can show you tombstones that were done in old soapstone because it was easy to carve back when they did it by hand. And the weather has washed away the numbers. And the weather has washed away the names. We might could get over there with a piece of paper. We might could do a rubbing. And we might could figure out who's buried there. But I want you to understand, right over here at Piney Grove, there are names that are illegible. But I tell you one worse than that. That cemetery was there before the Civil War, when slavery was still a part of this community. And they would bury the slaves outside the fence. And they would bury them near their masters. So if the masters were in this area, they'd go across the fence and bury the slaves. And the masters, some of them got Creek Rock, but most of them would get a headstone. But the slaves didn't. I can take you over in the woods right now and show you slaves' graves. And there's just a rock. But there's no know who it is. There's no way to know when they died. There's no way to know any of that. They're just rocks, places, headstone and footstone in the woods. Nobody alive has any idea who that is. Understand, all that's going to matter is what they thought about eternity. It's all that's going to matter. When will I die, preacher? Well, I want to share this with you. The who, what, when, where. Where? Where will I die? Well, I'd like to die like I read Brother Rackley's obituary, my family gathered around me. That's how I'd like to die. I'd like to die, you know, everybody at peace, and nobody wants to die alone. Nobody wants to die off somewhere. Nobody does that. Somebody, you know, it's awful sad when somebody tries to call it. During COVID, people had to die by themselves. They wouldn't let nobody in the hospital. I think that was wrong. I think that families ought to have been able to take the risk if they chose to. I think it was wrong. I think it was a disgrace. I think it was pitiful. And I can't imagine how many people that breathe their last with nurses and doctors, the only ones around them. Nobody there to comfort them. And that just tears my nerves up to think about that. Well, I want you to understand, where will I die? Well, I don't know the geographical location. I've thought time or two I'd die overseas. I thought I was going to die in the Philippines. I was in intensive care over there. Thought I was going to die. Had got my heart out of whack and was so dehydrated. They thought I was going to have a heart attack, and I was having all sorts of cardiac arrhythmia. And so they thought I was going to die over there, and I thought it was too. But it didn't. And then one time in Egypt, I got hepatitis. Boy, day, you talk about bad. I was so sick. Never been any sicker, I don't reckon, than I was in Egypt. And I don't even remember coming home. I had some friends with me, and they put me on an airplane and flew back through Greece, and we come out and come through New York, and I don't even hardly remember the trip. And got home, and the doctor said, it's a wonder you hadn't died. Went to the doctor and said, it's a wonder you hadn't died. And he said, how come you didn't go to the hospital over there? I said, if you'd seen their hospitals, you'd have got on the plane and flew over here too. You'd be better off down at the veterinary than you would have been over there at some of those places. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Where will you die? I don't know where we'll die. But I hope I die in my own bed. Hope I do. But I know what Ruth said when she was making her vow to not only to her mother-in-law, but her vow to the God of Israel. She said, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Now, we use those words sometimes in weddings. We use those words sometimes about our loved ones, about our spouses. But can I say, it doesn't matter where I die, because the Lord's with me. And if I die on the mission field or on a trip, hallelujah, that's fine. Because I'm not going to be alone, because he's going to be with me. Where will I die? And then the question, why? Who, what, when, where, and why? Why will I die, preacher? Why? Because the Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And somebody said, well, it ain't right that I've got to pay for Adam's sin. You don't. You've got enough sin of your own to do you in. You see, we inherited that bent to sin from Adam. We inherited the ability to sin. We did inherit that, a fallen sin nature. But oh no, we don't have to work. You ain't going to pay for Adam's sin. You're going to pay for your own. That's why you're going to die. That's why everything dies, because of sin. That's why that we have to suffer. The greatest tragedy in life is death. And for these that have lost their loved ones, lost their sons and daughters, that have lost their husbands or wives, I grieve with them. I mean, the grief is just almost beyond imagination. But it's a part of life, because it's appointed unto man once to die. Who's going to die? Everybody's going to die. Why are we going to die, preacher? Because all have sinned. And there's one other they've added to it. It used to be who, what, when, where. But now they've added the word how. And so my question is, how will we die? Well, some will die with cancer. Some will die with heart attacks. Some will die of strokes. Some will die accidentally. Some will die with car wrecks. Some will get pneumonia and die. Some will have Alzheimer's and die. I could name 1,000 ways that you'll leave this world. But that's not the issue that I'm interested in. I'm not interested in how you're going to die physically. But my question is, how are you going to die as far as your preparedness? You see, for those that are prepared, the psalmist said this. First of all, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he went on to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now, a shadow of a gun can't shoot you. A shadow of a bee can't sting you. And the shadow of death can't hurt you if you've been born again. It's just a shadow. You say, well, it sure does look real to me. If somebody laid in a casket, it sure looks real to me. Well, I know it does, but they're not actually dead. They've passed from death unto life. It was a transition. It occurred instantaneously. And if they're saved, they're in the presence of God. Looks like death, smells like death, but it's not death. It's the shadow of death, because they never had to die and go to hell. They are alive forevermore. That's for those that are prepared. But for those that are unprepared, how are we going to die? Well, this is the state that everybody's in. And this is not going to be determined one of these days. It's determined now. You see, there's only two kinds of people on planet Earth. Those that are prepared, that have trusted Christ as their Savior, and those that are unprepared. Let me tell you what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7. He was talking to the religious crowd. A really strict religious crowd. He was talking to the Pharisees. He was talking to the people who lived so clean, look like. But let me tell you what he said to them. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Well, what's that? What's the will of the Father? The will of the Father is that you come to know the Son, the Lord Jesus. Verse 22 of Matthew 7, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Now, that's pretty religious. If you can give prophecy, that's a big deal, isn't it? Some have prophesied. Now, some have said, Lord, Lord. Others have prophesied. And then, look at this. And in thy name have cast out devils. Whew. I ain't never done nothing like that. But there's a crowd apparently had. So there's a crowd that had said, Lord, Lord. There's a crowd that had prophesied. There's a crowd that had cast out devils. And then there's another crowd that said, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Oh, that's me, preacher. I'm in that works crowd. I'm there. Boy, I've done everything just like I'm supposed to. I've done all these things, and God's going to be so proud to see me. Everything's going to be good. Think so? You know what the scripture says? saddest words in the Bible, Matthew 7:23, to a religious crowd. A religious crowd that prophesied, a religious crowd that cast out devils, a religious crowd that done many wonderful works, a religious crowd that called him Lord. Lord, Lord, that's what they called him. Oh, the Lord, the good Lord, the Lord up above, the man upstairs. How many times have you heard that? Oh, we believe in the man upstairs, the Lord, the good Lord. It's in country music songs every day. Jesus said to them, well, I profess to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. So there are those that have known the Lord and those that never knew him. He will say to the religious outfit, I never knew you. Some of the toughest words in all of the Bible. But then he says, this is what happens when you don't know the Lord. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He said that all their prophesying, that all their wonderful works, that all of their casting out devils, he said it was ye that work iniquity. They were doing all that stuff to try to get to heaven on their own. And he said, that won't work. That's not enough. You got to quit trying to get to heaven on your own. You got to junk your religion. And you've got to trust Christ as your Savior personally between you and God. Can I say to you that there's a reign of death upon the human race? Who will die? Everybody. It's appointed unto men once to die. What happens when I die? Well, the Bible says that rich man lift up his eyes in hell. When will I die? The Bible says that our days pass away as a tale that is told. Don't know where we'll die, but if we know the Lord, we'll be with him. We'll never be alone. Why will I die? Because death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And it's the penalty. Wages of sin is death. How will I die? Well, if you die prepared, it's a shadow. But if you die unprepared, my friend, there's no coming back from it. The Lord will pronounce that day, I never knew you. Depart. What a sad thing. People to die and go to hell from Baptist church pews. When the gospel has been presented. And when it's very easy, it's very simple. There's no complication. It's so simple children can understand it. It's so simple that children can be saved. And yet we have adults that can't get a hold of it because they're trying to add this, that, and the other to it. My friend, I don't care how you were raised. I don't care what you've been told. I've shared this Bible with you. This is either the Word of God or it's not. And if it's the Word of God, you're in trouble. And if it's not the Word of God, we're all in trouble. Because I've staked my eternal destiny upon this book right here. And if this didn't give us the way to heaven, then we're all going to hell. But I got good news. This Bible's true. It's God's Word. And God said you must be born again. You must come to know the Lord personally. And if you not, he's going to say, depart from me, you're accursed. I never knew you. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed, and God's people praying.
We trust today's message was a help to you. If you don't have a church home, we would love to have you join us. Sunday school at 9:45, morning worship at 11, Sunday evenings at 6, and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Anchor Baptist Church is located at 3232 Hendersonville Highway in Pisgah Forest, North Carolina. May the Lord bless you, and we look forward to meeting with you again soon.
Bye.